and welcome to X-Men Unraveled. I'm your host, Noelle, and I follow the stories of the X-Men in chronological order. Last episode, I covered the history of Bolivar Trask and how he revealed his Sentinels to the world. Today, I'm picking up where I left off, but since this is a two-parter, I want to start with a quick recap. Bolivar Trask has spent his entire professional life trying to figure out how to prevent mutants from dominating humanity. He believes that mutants are an existential threat to humanity's existence and power in the world. Trask maintains this mindset even as his own two children turn out to be mutants. Working in secret with funding from a shadowy group called Control, Trask creates his mutant hunting robots, the Sentinels. When he has completed his project, Trask shared his views in a newspaper article, and that puts him on the radar of Professor Xavier, who challenged Trask to a televised debate about mutants. Trask used the opportunity to reveal his Sentinels to the world, but things quickly went off the rails when the Sentinels attacked their creator. I'm picking up from that point today, and we'll finish the rest of the story, which takes place over issues 14 to 16 of Uncanny X-Men. The rest of the plotline demonstrates how dangerous the Sentinels are and how much the X-Men struggle to defeat them. So let's get started. In the first half of issue number 14 of Uncanny X-Men, Professor Xavier had given the team some time off from their superhero duties. But while he debated Bolivar Trask, he has to recall the team when Trask's new creation embarrasses him in front of the world. When Trask explicitly ordered the robots to demonstrate how well they obey commands, the lead Sentinel shoots Trask with a ray gun, knocking him out. I'm a super anxious person, and I cannot get over how mortifying this would be. This is Trask's moment. He thinks he's going to be the savior of humanity, and the Sentinels knock him out on live television. I would be way less concerned about the physical danger because I would be overwhelmed with embarrassment, but I think we can safely say that Trask deserved it. The Sentinel then announces that their brains are superior to humans, so they're the ones who should be in command. Then it orders one out of the group to stay behind and watch the crowd, while the rest grab Trask and fly off with him back to his base. So with Trask hoisted by his own petard, Xavier telepathically reaches out to the X-Men to help fix this whole mess. Each of the X-Men receives Xavier's call while they're off trying to enjoy their free time. Hank and Bobby have to rush away from a poetry reading at Coffee A Go-Go, with Bobby ruining his chances of going on a date with the waitress named Zelda. Warren was just sitting down to dinner with his wealthy parents when he announces he has to leave because he forgot something really important. And despite the suddenness of his announcement, his parents are pretty chill about it, and they just remind him that they're always there to help him. Scott is by himself in a taxi, and now he's harassing the driver to hurry because it's an emergency. But his glasses fall off and shoot out the windshield of the car. He jumps out and then has to escape an angry mob who realizes that he's a mutant. There's a chance they were also watching the debate when it happened. And it's not hard to see why Scott is always so stressed about his powers hurting someone. He recently got into a skirmish with the cops after they stole his glasses, and now just dropping them puts other people in the city in danger. He could easily have killed the taxi driver. But he does get away and runs to the studio. Jean does not appear yet on the pages, but we will catch up with her in a minute. Hank and Bobby arrive at the TV studio first, where they find Xavier and a bunch of civilians being held hostage by the Sentinel that was ordered to stay behind. Xavier is using his powers to keep everyone else in a catatonic state to avoid a panic, but one man is able to break free and starts running away. Luckily for him, Xavier is able to use a shock of mental energy to knock him to the floor before the Sentinel's able to shoot him. Hank and Bobby then jump in to fight the Sentinel, but Bobby gets hit by the ray gun pretty quickly. So Hank is trying to take it on alone as Scott arrives. They do not get much time to fight together though, because Hank launches his body with as much force as he can at the Sentinel, but the robot dodges the attack. Unfortunately and hilariously, Hank hits the wall and knocks himself out. The moment is supposed to be so dramatic, but I cannot stop myself from laughing at Cyclops saying that Hank knocked himself out. I might be a child, but to me this is like top-tier humor. It reminds me of Mac on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when he chokes himself out. I just have not gotten over this. But now Scott has exhausted his powers and Hank is out of commission, so they're at the mercy of the Sentinel. And it looks like it might be over for them, but suddenly the Sentinel stops in its tracks and topples over, completely harmless. Xavier releases the crowd in the studio from his control and tells the X-Men to clear the room so they can investigate what stopped the Sentinel. Warren, meanwhile, hasn't made it to the TV studio yet because as he was flying his way over, he ran into a flock of Sentinels carrying Trask to his lap. I don't know what a group of Sentinels is called, so since they're flying, I'm just gonna go with flock. The Sentinels spot Warren and recognize that he's a mutant and go on the attack. He is able to dodge them, but comes pretty close to being hit by their ray guns, and three Sentinels break away to chase him while the other six continue on their way. Angel is trying to escape the three, but an invisible force starts dragging him down to the roof of a passing train. And it turns out that Jean was in one of the train cars and happened to be passing by just at the right moment to extricate Warren, and the three Sentinels break off their attack and join the others. The leader says that they can continue tracking down mutants when there are more Sentinels. Jean pulls off a pretty cool feat and levitates herself out of the train car, basically flying up to Warren on the roof. And this is the first time she's used her powers like this, so we're seeing some growth in her character and her ability to use her powers. Once they're both safe, Warren flies them the rest of the way to the studio. When they get there, Xavier is in the middle of trying to mentally examine the downed Sentinel, but isn't able to decipher much in the mechanical robot mind. Luckily, he's able to gain one bit of information that the Sentinels are trying to return to the place where they were created, and something called a master mold. So the X-Men all hop in the car and make their way to the location that Xavier discovered. Over at the Sentinel base, Trask is being marched through the halls by the Sentinels. He tries to order them to stop, saying that he can't make any more Sentinels until he figures out what went wrong with them. One of the Sentinels answers that they've come to the conclusion that to protect humanity, they have to conquer it, and they order Trask into a room they call the Master Chamber. But before they can do anything else, some sensors start going off, indicating that somebody is approaching the base. Xavier and the X-Men have just arrived, but they don't see anything except an empty field. As they look around, the ground starts opening up and part of Trask's base emerges with weapons aimed at the team. And that is where issue 14 ends, but getting this first look at Trask's base and the scope of what he built, the funding from Control starts making a lot more sense. The base is pretty big, it's got the camouflage, it comes out of the ground and back into it, weapons, labs. Hard to believe that one man would be able to do all of this on his own without any extra help or money. Unless Trask is actually a self-funded multi-billionaire, which we don't have any evidence of. But the story continues in the next issue. Issue 15 opens up with the headline, Prisoners of the Mysterious Master Mold, and picks up right where the last issue stopped. Xavier and the X-Men are now dealing with the fact that the ground is rising and breaking up underneath them and there's boulders flying through the air. Everyone, except for Angel of course, is falling all over the place. The team is all very worried about Xavier, who's tumbling down in his wheelchair, but he yells at them to focus on the Sentinels. But when Xavier starts falling into a chasm, Angel flies over and catches him, and then Xavier gets upset, saying he can take care of himself. The team's able to climb up to safety on a ridge, but there's still no way into the base because the laser cannons are shooting out of it. And so Xavier orders Iceman to execute Plan G. Iceman then builds this giant saucer out of ice, and he and Beast climb on top while Cyclops shoots it, sending it flying through the air. It doesn't seem like the greatest plan, and the saucer starts tipping over. This is probably why it wasn't Plan A. Iceman and Beast do fall off, because ice is not the easiest thing to hold onto, and they are caught by these metal tentacles that emerge from the base. Angel tries to fly in after them, but a giant wall of flame shoots out and he has to turn back. Again, based on these defenses alone, I'm not sure how we're supposed to believe that one anthropologist put this all together on top of creating the Sentinels. But anyway, the Sentinels have now captured Iceman and Beast and placed them in a glass cage that they then fill with some type of knockout gas. By now, the Sentinels are feeling pretty good about themselves and saying that this was an easy fight, so the rest of the species won't be much of a problem. Trask, meanwhile, is livid at his rebellious creations, screaming at them that their one job is to protect humans from mutants. The Sentinels say nothing can stop them and take him to Master Mold. Master Mold is kind of like the queen bee of the Sentinels. It looks pretty similar to the others with some additional headgear, but it's several times larger and sits in a giant throne-like chair, and its primary role is to create new Sentinels. However, it's only able to do so with the help of Trask. He hasn't given Master Mold the instruction manual on building more Sentinels yet. Master Mold orders Trask to get to work so it can build an army. Trask refuses and says that he would rather die, but Master Mold responds that if he doesn't comply, the Sentinels will use the weapons that he gave them to destroy half the nation. And Trask does a full 180 and says that the X-Men will defeat the Sentinels and their plan. Master Mold then reminds Trask that they were created specifically to defeat the X-Men and have already captured two of them. The uncaptured members of the X-Men are still struggling to find a way past the base's defenses. Xavier decides to help out and uses his power to send mental energy at the Sentinels inside the base, knocking out those who are controlling the laser cannons. That gives Cyclops, Marvel Girl, and Angel a chance to make a break for the base. They get inside and make their way past the Sentinels that Xavier disabled, but then they run straight into another one that's wandering around outside the range of Xavier's powers. This one doesn't attack, though. It says that it wasn't programmed to deal with them and demands they follow along as it gets new orders. Master Mold might be pretty intelligent, but it seems like the run-of-the-mill Sentinels are still kind of dumb. Basically, they can only follow orders and not make their own plans. The X-Men play along and follow behind it until they pass the room where Iceman and Beast are caged and knocked out. Beast is missing, but Iceman is still there, so they break away from the Sentinel to help him. The Sentinel tries to stop them, but Jean uses her telekinesis to knock it over, and Cyclops breaks Iceman out. They run off, but several more Sentinels are in the way. The X-Men try to put up a fight, but then the section leader activates a heavy gravity ray that stops the X-Men in their tracks. While all of this is going on, Beast has been brought to Master Mold, who's using a psycho probe to learn what he can about the X-Men and Beast. Basically, it's a machine that places Beast under Master Mold's mental control. There's a lot of mix-up between, like, robotics and telepathy in this issue. Trask tried to stop Master Mold from doing this, but again, Master Mold's got his threats. He says he's gonna destroy the nearest city if he stops him. So Trask turns on the device, and it causes Beast to share details of his life before the X-Men and about his powers. Xavier uses his telepathy to sense what's going on, and he projects his astral form into the base to stop Beast from revealing too much information. He then deadens Beast's thoughts with sharp thought particles, which prevent him from sharing any more information. Xavier then tries to use his powers on Master Mold, but the robot can sense him and sends microelectric blasts, which harm Xavier's astral form, forcing him to return to his body. Now, with all of the X-Men captured and Xavier shut out, Master Mold orders Trask to start creating more Sentinels. And Trask has a come-to-Jesus moment, exclaiming that he was a fool to create them at all and to fight against mutants. And so issue 15 ends with the X-Men captured and Trask at the mercy of his own creations. Uncanny X-Men 16 completes this first story about the Sentinels. The cover gives the title The Supreme Sacrifice, with the X-Men attacking Master Mold. Page 1 continues the drama and says, "In which a life is lost, a battle won." So this issue is ending the trilogy with high stakes. In all the X-Men's adventures so far, no characters have actually died. I think Mastermind might be the closest when he was turned to stone by the Stranger, but even he isn't actually dead. So we've got a pretty dire start to the issue. The story opens with Xavier lying on the ground after returning from his astral rescue of Beast from Master Mold's psychic probe, and he knows that the whole team is captured and feels responsible since he's the one who inspired them to risk their lives. At the same time, though, the base seals itself shut and transforms the landscape back into an innocent-seeming field. But Xavier knows that Master Mold plans to create more Sentinels, and he wants to get back to the fallen Sentinel at the TV studio and see if he can finally figure out what stopped it. Xavier is now without his wheelchair, so he has to crawl his way to a nearby road. And when a car comes towards him, he sends a telepathic command to stop the driver. Two men get out of the car when they see Xavier and lift him into the vehicle, and they drive him to the TV studio where the police are investigating the scene. Xavier offers to help, and the inspector accepts, recognizing him from the debate. So Xavier sits in front of the Sentinel and uses his powers to inspect the robot and discovers that there's a receiver inside that is being blocked by some type of interference. And the answer is kind of ridiculous. There's a building that can be seen through the window of the TV studio, and it belongs to Crystal Products. And I guess to showcase their wares, the company has placed a huge-ass crystal on the outside of the building. Somehow, this crystal is breaking up the transmission of data to the Sentinel, rendering it a mechanical version of unconscious. While Xavier is making this discovery, Cyclops, Marvel Girl, Iceman, and Angel have all been imprisoned by the Sentinels in a transparent, heavy-gravity globe. They all try breaking out. Cyclops' optic beams don't do anything to the walls, and Iceman creates an ice battering ram to put enough pressure on the globe to try and shatter it, but the ice breaks instead. I don't know what Marvel Girl's plan is, but she lifts herself up with her telepathy into the top of the globe, but then she just falls back down. It's a globe. I don't know where she thought she would be able to go. I guess she's just really excited about this new use of her powers. Cyclops tells the team that they've got to stop. They're just expending their energy and powers with no way out. He tells them to just wait until they have a chance to escape and make their attack. Back in Master Mold's chamber, Master Mold has decided that he doesn't need any more information from Beast, so the Sentinels take him back to imprison him with the others until they decide to destroy them. When Trask hears what Master Mold plans to do to the X-Men, he tries to stop them. He says he was wrong about mutants and his robots are the real threat. But Master Mold is not even remotely interested in what Trask has to say. Instead, he orders Trask to begin creating an army of Sentinels so they can conquer humanity. Trask again refuses, saying that he won't betray his fellow humans, but Master Mold gently persuades him by demonstrating the Sentinel's disintegrator beam. It completely destroys a piece of machinery, and Master Mold says that they'll use it on the nearest city if Trask won't comply. He maybe should have done some more test runs of these robots before giving them all of these weapons. Master Mold's threat is enough to convince Trask, although he's hoping that there will be some way to destroy Master Mold. The other Sentinels would not be able to act on their own without it in charge. So two Sentinels leave the room and carry Beast to the globe, holding the rest of the team. And when they open the globe to leave Beast, the X-Men leap out and attack. These first model of Sentinels are not the most coordinated creations, so when Cyclops uses his power to knock one over, it falls into the rest of them, and they just kind of topple into each other and fall down. The X-Men go on the attack, and they're much more successful in this fight, taking out several Sentinels as they escape. Unfortunately, outside that room, there's another group ready for the mutants, and they blast them with stun rays. The Sentinels think that the fight is over, but before they can recapture the X-Men, they all fall mysteriously to the ground. Xavier and the police have managed to get three helicopters to carry the giant crystal from the building and have flown it to the base. The crystal disrupts the Sentinels' operating systems, and there aren't any left to capture the X-Men. Inside, the X-Men shake off the stun ray's effects and wake up to see all of the Sentinels lying on the ground, so they make their way to take on Master Mold. but they never make it because a large explosion stops them. Trask did create the first batch of new Sentinels for Master Mold in this machine that has like 8 slots that are filled with syntho particles from Master Mold. We're not going to think too much about the logistics. But when he sees the first group come to life, he knows that if he continues, then he will be giving them the ability to conquer the world. Trask doesn't want that to be his legacy, so he decides to be the one to stop Master Mold himself. He takes a giant wrench and crushes the ionic power source to the machine, and when he does, it causes an enormous explosion that takes out the entire Master Chamber, along with Master Mold and Trask himself. The X-Men have to race away from the destruction that spreads throughout the base. They all make it to safety as the base completely collapses, but they don't know how exactly it happened. The issue ends with an image of Trask lying on top of the destroyed Master Mold, and the panel reads, "Perhaps the truth will one day be known, but until that time it lies buried beneath countless tons of rubble, buried in the breast of Dr. Bolivar Trask, whose last earthly sacrifice brought the work of a lifetime crashing down about him. Beware the fanatic. Too often his cure is deadlier by far than the evil he denounces." And so the anti-mutant zealot Bolivar Trask is the one who stops his creation from taking over the world. But like with any technology, once the genie is out of the bottle, everything changes. Even though Trask in his final hours realized the error of his ways, the path he forged with his creations will continue to haunt mutants of the world for decades to come. But as far as Trask knew, in his final moments, he had destroyed the threat he created and paid for his malevolence with his life. Ignoring the whole crystal situation, it's really quite a dramatic story that introduces the Sentinels. The X-Men really see the depth of hatred that many humans harbor toward mutants. They'd certainly seen it before and experienced it for themselves, but I think coming face to face with robots built specifically for their eradication had to have been a shocking experience. But it's really just the endpoint for all the anti-mutant prejudice. If humans don't believe that they can live alongside mutants, then what other conclusion can there be to the situation? One would have to destroy the other. Even though this whole story is dressed up in a 60s comic story, the undertones are really dark and certainly have parallels to some of the worst atrocities that have happened in the real world. Another important part of the story is Trask's death itself. Even though the X-Men don't personally witness his death and they were not responsible for it, this is the first time that one of their adventures results in the death of their foe. And the image of Trask lying dead on top of the destroyed Sentinel is quite stark, and if you look at the X-Men stories just through what has been published up to this issue, it really stands out. As for the X-Men, I have to think that going through this whole ordeal culminating in Trask's death as teenagers is a turning point for them personally. There's been an escalation in what they're doing and experiencing as heroes. Initially, they have their battles with the Brotherhood and other dangerous mutants, but the level of harm they experience is quite small in the beginning. Then they have that dangerous fight with Juggernaut a few issues back, where 4 out of 5 of the team members end up significantly injured. And now one of their enemies has died. There will certainly be stories where the threats are silly or unserious, but I think this one really ups the ante for what the X-Men can expect to face. Not to mention that Beast and Iceman are also pretty injured in this encounter, but we will check up on them next time when an old enemy resurfaces as well. The next issue picks up shortly where this one leaves off, so there's a little bit of runover, but I can't get into it today. It's a whole different story. That is all for today. I hope you enjoyed these 2 episodes about the Sentinels and Bolivar Trask. If I'm honest, the stories that have more backstory to get into are my favorites, and many of these early issues don't have as much of that. Until next time, check out the Instagram at X-Men Unraveled, where I post images from the issues I cover in the episodes. As always, thank you so much for joining me. Talk to you next time, and beware the fanatic.